and good Friday morning. You're tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. Getaway Friday here, September the 3rd, 2021, Labor Day weekend, 16 minutes past the hour. This show can be heard live every Friday morning at 11:10 a.m., repeated Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m., and Wednesday afternoon at 3:10 p.m. You can also go to the website, wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives, and the Pastor Spot is the first one under there. You can listen to shows dating back to March of 2018. Also, the Community Christian Fellowship Sunday service now airs on this station every Sunday at 12:15. We now turn to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker.
Good Friday morning.
Here we are.
How's everybody doing today? It's good to be here on the show. Got Scott here with me and Tim Steele here beside me. And what a beautiful day it is out. Yeah, there's Tim. Beautiful day it is out today. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, and love to have you come and visit us sometime. Sundays, we're at 9:30 in the morning and with our Sunday school hour, and then we have our service at 10:30. And a lot of stuff going on during the week, and maybe we'll get into that before the show's over. What a beautiful day it is. What a we've got the Popcorn Festival coming up next week, am I right?
Next week.
Boy, things are sure, you know, time is just flying. It felt like fall this morning when I got up. It was so chilly. And we can feel the temperature starting to change a little bit. And it isn't going to be long till we're wearing the long sleeve shirts and the pants, and summer will be gone. But, you know, I want to talk about something I brought up at the end of the show last week, a Bible verse that I think is... I want to delve into a little bit more this morning, if I could, and that's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and it says, "Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about being burdened and being tired and carrying so much. And, you know, a couple questions I have this morning. I'll ask both of you guys this question. What is it that seems to make people want to be in that rut? Now, they won't admit they want to be in that rut of being tired and burdened and overwhelmed, but yet we don't always do a lot to get out of it. What do you think is the cause of that?
I don't think they know that they're in a rut. I really don't think they have a clue.
They think maybe that's the way it's supposed to be?
Well, I think they think this is the way life is, and unless some miracle comes in to change the way things are going, I can't do it. So I don't think they see it as a rut. I think they see it as life.
Okay. Good point. How about you, Tim?
That's kind of what I think. And I think it's just the way it is. It's the routine. This is way, like you said, way life's supposed to be. It's been this way forever. Like, that's the way it's going to be.
How many people say, "I hate my job," but never look for a new one, never go on an interview?
Me.
There you go. Yeah. It's prevalent.
Yeah, I think so too, people, that when another thing that keeps us bound up is when one thing drops off our plate, we're real quickly to fill that spot again. Like, oh, I now have time to stick this in there. Or what about the fact that it's easier to say yes than no?
You know, it's interesting. I always hear this phrase when people say, when I retired, I ended up busier than I did when I was working. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be by your own design. You could say no. I mean, when I retire, I wouldn't want to be stagnant. But I certainly wouldn't want to do everything I was doing. I wouldn't want to be busier. If I found myself busier, I think I would change it.
I think people assume because you're retired that you have more time. So they're quick to ask you, "Hey, could you do this tomorrow? Or are you going to be around to do A, B, or C?" And you know, I find that, you know, and I'm not retired. But I find that sometimes, you know, because of my schedule and I can do things, I can change my schedule so easily. People are very quick to plug something into that schedule. Or just assume that one thing a lot of times people assume is that you can just drop and go. You know, drop what you're doing and go here or there.
But why can't we say no?
I don't know.
Well, people won't. People are, you know, I don't know. It's a strange thing.
It's It's because they don't want to disappoint somebody.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, I think we want to please people. I really do.
You know, the biggest contrast in life to me is, it's funny to me, because I do think that's why we don't say no, because we all want to be loved, we all want to be liked, and we think that will get us unliked. But, you know, if you watch a movie or go to a play, the villain is the most interesting person. Nobody wants to be the good guy, they want to be the villain, because the villain's got edges and things like that. But in life, nobody wants to be the villain. We want to watch the villain.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So what are some of the things that cause us to be burdened? You know, this verse says, come unto me, all you who are weary. Well, you know what weary means? You're worn. You're tired. And you're burdened. You're burdened with something. What are some things in life that we can be burdened with? In 2021, I'm burdened. I'm burdened today. What are some things that might be burdening me?
Technology.
Oh, yeah. In what way?
Well, people never shut it off. They take it to bed. It's laying right there on the nightstand, dinging all night long.
Yeah. I have a bad habit of going to sleep listening to something.
Well, I hate to say this, but I recently had to say this again because I don't understand. And if somebody passes away in the middle of the night, if somebody dies, I just don't answer the phone in the middle of the night. And people find that bad. And I say, they're not going to be any less dead in the morning. Once they go, there's nothing I can really do at that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, if nothing is going to happen till morning.
No, what am I going to do? Why?
I wake all night and think about the person that just died.
Yeah, and you wake up in shock, first of all, because the phone's ringing at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you get horrible news. A lot of times you're alone. It's much better to ease in.
Although, if you have a close family member that may be rushed to the hospital, you need to be by their side, that could be different.
That's different.
That could be different.
That's different.
So that would be one burden, I suppose, technology. How about fear of the unknown?
For some people, I think.
For tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? I think a lot of people are burdened with that. Believe it or not, I think our young people are very burdened with tomorrow. They hear too many uncertainties. They hear too many doomsday prophecies. They hear too many people that everything's going to collapse. I don't think they feel secure in tomorrow. What are some other things that would burden you? Tim, you've been a parent.
What burdens me right now is, well, we're back to the point where, you know, you asking who wants to quit their job but doesn't look. My biggest drawback why I don't look is because healthcare insurance. I can't afford out there. I have a new wife. I picked her up in my policy, and it's still way cheaper than what she had to pay. She's of the small outfit, and I mean, that's a burden. To me, it's a burden, but she, you know, she says, don't like your job, she just quit. But it says, you know, and it's, so I guess it boils down, for me, it's having to provide for other people. I grew up providing for my family, now I got a new wife I'm providing for, and don't get me wrong, I do it gladly.
You love it.
I do it gladly.
You love her.
I
mean, you like, yeah,
I may hate doing it, but I do it gladly.
It doesn't mean that it can't be weary.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
Money will forever be the burden.
Yeah. Money will forever be a burden. When I mentioned kids, you're raising kids. I think that your kids can be a concern for your kids can be a burden. Does that make sense?
You know, I was having a conversation the other night with somebody, and I thought it was obviously the parent loved their kid, good parent, no issue there. But when you don't have kids, a lot of times people will say you don't understand. Because you've never had kids. And now that's true to a certain extent, but no parent, good parent, is going to say, I regret my kid. And I think that's where that comes from. You know, because if you like somebody's life who didn't have kids, you don't want to say that, because then it sounds like you're saying you regret having your kid.
Right.
And nobody regrets having their kid, but I think some people do regret that they didn't get to do some things because they had kids.
Probably. That we make those decisions.
Right.
You know, we do. And if you... I find that if you put the attention on your kids that you need to be doing as a responsible parent, The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and as he old, he will not depart from it. Actually, that verse, if you want to take it as literal sense, is train up a child in the way that he is bent. In other words, the way that that God designed him. And I think that if we do that, I think that it takes a lot of stress off expectations, because when we expect a child to do something that maybe they're not designed to do, but it's something we would have liked, there can be stress in that. But it says, "Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So God's going to give you rest. In other words, it has to be a trust process for him to give you that rest. Mm-hmm. You have to trust him with your finances. Doesn't mean, "Lord, I'm trusting my finances. I'm going to lay in bed every day, and your money's going to roll in."
He says, you know, I don't know what the verse is, but it basically says, you know, if you ain't going to work, you ain't going to eat.
Yeah, and that's basically the way that should be. If we're not going to, you know, we need to do something. But at the same time, you trust. You don't worry about it. You don't. If you're doing everything you can to be the proper provider, to take care of the self, to do what you should, you know, trust God to take care of those things that you can't, but the behind the scenes that you don't know about. Interesting verse in Philippians in chapter 4. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true," of course this is Paul writing here, "finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, when I think about being burdened or weary, that would tell me that my thought process is thinking of negatives, right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The negatives are beginning to overwhelm me. And if I'm weary and I'm burdened and I'm, "Oh man, life's this way, this is going on, that's going on," I'm thinking of those things. But look back at this verse that says, it says, "whatever is true." In other words, think about things that are true, not made up things, not false things. Whatever is noble, the noble thing to do, or whatever is noble, whatever is right thinking. That's where the word righteous comes from, is being right, doing what's right. Whatever is pure. In other words, don't let your mind get clogged up with things that are not nice, things that are not fruitful, things that may be sketchy, so to speak. Whatever is lovely. Think about that. Lovely thoughts. You ever have lovely thoughts? I think we can have lovely thoughts. You know, things that you just feel at peace about when you have those thoughts. Whatever is admirable. Think about something admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, something you can be happy about, be praising. Even if you're in a situation where you're so busy because you have a lot of things to do, there's some good things that come out of what you're doing. And I think that one thing you can do is think about the positive things that are happening that God is doing in your life, but also look at, as you plan and as you look down the road, think about those things that have already been accomplished or are going to be accomplished. Look for that end of the road. You know, why am I doing this stuff? What's the outcome going to be? And I think that that's a real good thing we can look at too. If you take everything that you have and you put it on a plate and you divide it up like a pie and you put percentages on each amount of your time, and then you examine each thing and you ask the question, is this something that's good? Is this something I should be doing? Where's the eventual outcome of what I'm doing with this? And is it worth the amount of time that I'm spending on it? And I would bet, you know, if we took a plate and we looked at it, we could really do some adjustments. But I think at the same time, when we trust God with those burdens, and you let him carry that yoke, as he said, you know, back in Matthew, or you carry his yoke, which is light, you trust him to guide you in those areas, and you're not so weary about it. I'm not going to worry about me making all the wrong decisions if I've trusted God to help me with those decisions. So there's a burden that's lifted in that. It says, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's so many lessons in the Word of God. And there's so many wonderful parables that Jesus taught. And you know, whatever he taught, of course, Paul picked up and he taught. And he's saying, you know, learn from these things. Take these things, put them into practice. If we put good things into practice in our life, we're going to have a good outcome. If we think positively about good things, I'm not talking about Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. You remember the book. I'm talking about, though, at the same time, you know, when you have right thinking, you have right outcome. If you're going to dwell on the negatives of what you don't have, how much you can't get done, how pitiful things are, that's where you're going to be. I had mentioned a couple shows ago that I think it's very important for people to step away from some of the negative news. And I'm not talking left or right, I'm talking both. Step away from it. What's it doing to you? You know, there's a real good test we can give ourselves. If you have a nightly news program you watch, or a daily thing, or even a show that you listen to on radio by the day or on the internet, listen to that show and then take inventory of how you feel when it's over. You know what I mean? And when that show's over, if you just really feel like, man, my blood pressure's up a little bit, or I'm really angry about this group, or I'm angry about that, or I'm sick of this, or I'm sick of that, and you're just, you know, I would say that you step away from that. I would say that, you know, first we have to understand that all those shows need ratings. That's what they live by, are ratings. And that means you have to watch. And what's the best way to get you to watch? By somehow touching an emotional button. And that emotional button, most of the time, unfortunately, is anger, is fear, is revenge, is all kinds of things that we really shouldn't be thinking about. And if I take that time and I think of positive things, you know, I've got, and let's just look at this for a minute. I'm sitting in my office, and I've got some free time up here, I think, some space to fill. And I'm thinking about the negatives here, the negatives there, what's going on in this nationally, what's going on internationally, what's going on, you know, all these things. Or am I thinking about, you know what, I'm thinking about some people in the church that really need some extra love and prayer. And I take that time and decide to spend some time praying about them and thinking about what can be done to help those people. Do you not think for 1 minute that's not going to have more of a positive outcome? And it's going to relieve some of that weariness and some of that burden? You know, I've always said the best way to relieve a burden of your own is to help someone else with the burden they have. For some reason, when you help other people, it relieves a lot of your own burden. And you know, maybe it's because we stop focusing on our burdens when we help other people. And if you really want to know what things really look like, help other people and realize where they're at, because you might suddenly realize that you don't have it so bad after all. But I think that we get so caught up with the, I guess the term I've always heard a lot is the woe is me aspect of life. And I wasn't raised right, my parents didn't this, I didn't get the breaks, I'm the wrong person for this. People like me never get a break. I know this one particular family, and they are constantly posting stuff that say, make the comment of I won't use their last name, but like, we're the bad luck, and they'll use their last name. Or it would be like I would say, well, I just got Whitakered. Because my name's Whitaker. And, you know, every time something bad happens, well, I got Whitakered again. Like you're expecting something negative to happen. I've got news for this family. When that's your attitude, that's exactly what's going to happen. And unfortunately, in this family, that's a lot of what has happened. And it'll continue to happen. When you expect the worst, and you're looking for the worst will always... Because what happens is, and it's not always your fault, but subconsciously... You're expecting something bad to happen, and you almost make it happen. Have you ever talked about somebody that say, well, they're not happy unless they're having a crisis? You ever known anyone like that? Like, they They go from crisis to crisis, and if they're not in one, they'll manufacture one.
Well, that's what it goes back to what you were saying. I think people like to be, if they test their blood pressure after they watch something or listen to something, I think they like it. I don't think it's a matter of their health. I think they like it. The quickest way to create interest in anything is to have a controversy. You know, a guy wrote a book years ago called Controversy Creates Cash, and it does. You know, if good or bad, if there's a controversy, people will be there. People want to know. It becomes the thing. And
but if we're looking at how God designed things to be and how he wants us to be for our own mental health, our physical health, and our spiritual health, it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent or is admirable or praiseworthy, that eliminates a lot of negativity. It eliminates revenge completely. It takes revenge right off the table. It takes revenge off the table. It takes pride off the table. It takes envy off the table. It takes a lot of things that waste a lot of our time that produce things that produce no fruit, because envy, pride, revenge, all those things that we would think of, if we pay attention to this, it takes it off the table. And it makes us a better person in time. Side, it makes us a more secure person. It makes us able to live with ourselves easier. And that's ultimately what we have to do. I don't like being around bitter people. People that are bitter, they bum me out, quite frankly. I've got a family member extended, so they're not going to know who I'm even talking about. But I have a big family, too, so don't think you know who you are. But there's somebody that is constantly talking about all the tragedies in their life. And you know, I've learned to get past them. Well, no, you haven't learned to get past them, because you're still talking about them.
Well, it's funny, with the holidays coming up here soon. Years ago, I stopped, well, there were a few reasons, but nothing major, but I stopped going to big family, and I'm talking about extended family, you know, my mom's brothers and sisters and all their family. I stopped going to those things because there were people at those things who made them difficult. And it just, every time you were there, it was the same
fun,
old. No. And I did not see it as fun. And I like the holiday get-togethers that go on at my house and that I go to. I go to the ones I like. But that, just because it's my family, I haven't been to those in probably 10 or 15 years now. Because as long as those people were still going, can't do it.
Well, and I think it gets to be a point sometimes that when family is extended family and far enough away, they're really people that you don't know anyway.
Well, yeah, you know, the people who marry in.
Yeah.
The people I have problems with are not really my blood relatives, to be honest with you. And I don't know why it's that way, but they come in, and if my blood relative has acted like that, I would say the same thing about them. It's just these people come off very shrill, is the only word for it. And it, boy, that is not fun.
I had posted something the other day that was a quote from Bonhoeffer that said, to see and be, basically, I get that it's not slipped my mind, but to see evil and not to call it out is evil itself. And I had added to that, and that includes family. And sometimes, even though some people are family, there's evil there too, Scott. And I think that it's better sometimes that we, it doesn't hurt when it's really wrong to call it out and let it go. What I mean by call it out and let it go, don't let it become an issue that's there all the time. Let your feelings be known. Give them something to think about. But I think that then maybe sometimes the best idea is to remove yourself, like you said. Just to remove yourself from their presence, because you know that it's not going to have any positive effect as you go on down the road. And you're better off just remaining back where I say again, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if every time you're around those people there's nothing pure and lovely going on and it's causing you to have thoughts you shouldn't have, maybe you are better separating yourself or getting back away from it.
You know, though, the problem is, in some aspects, not so much with the family, but a lot of times if you believe in something and you speak out about it, inevitably there's going to be somebody who doesn't like what you said.
Absolutely.
Who believes Yeah. But a lot of times, if you are a substantial person, you will get marred with that brush in a very public way that somebody else wouldn't. And that's interesting to me.
It's almost unfair.
Well, it really is. I mean, I think about it a lot during this, not to get on this subject, but the pandemic, because it's interesting to me that when the mayor got COVID, that was a front page story. Now, how many people have gotten COVID around here?
I'll tell you another thing. You know, we have people all day long that can get on our local village page or whatever, and they may say something that people find a little bit, you know, like not right or appalling or whatever. They do watch that page closely. But if I were to get on there and say that, everyone in town would know it. Can you believe what that pastor said? And even though someone else may have said the same thing. So I have to be careful there. Normally what I do is I have learned, kind of, every now and then I slip, but I have learned kind of, if somebody says something that's so diametrically opposed to what I, my thoughts, or what's going on, I mean, just a complete opposite, a 180, and I know that that person is adamant about how they feel, I just shut up and walk away from it, because there's no point in getting in an argument.
Well, I think that's it. And you never want to get in an argument here. Now, I don't know. Do you want to take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Let's go ahead. You call her. You're on the air with the pastor.
I was wondering what time Swap Shop came on.
Swap Shop was on. It's on Thursdays from 12 to 1.
Okay. I'm at a friend's house, and she wanted to know, so that's the only way I knew how to find out.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, that was a wonderful, insightful call.
That's right. And they come like that every so often.
Oh, well. Anyway, that one actually made me lose my total train of thought.
That'll throw you off, won't it?
It threw me off. But you know, I guess that where were we, Scott?
But public. Speaking out in public being, yeah. Well, but you know what? Social media is interesting because now I'm starting to see all these people who take, what do they call it? Screenshots of things that you post, and they will put those on their pages, and they will send that to people and email it. You know, it's like, you know, the newspaper used to be. Well, you just run around
that with good stuff.
Yeah, but no, bad stuff is where I'm seeing it all the time. And
I
that's
know one thing
horrible.
That I do is I there's a devotion my wife and I read about every morning, and I'll see a really good one, and I'll take a screenshot of it. I don't know if that's plagiarism, but I will usually mention where it came from. But I'll take a screenshot of that and put it on for people, and it's encouraging, and it encourages people.
Well, yeah, and if that's where the way it's used, that's good. But it's they will look what this person said, and just to prove
they
said it. Oh yeah, there's the screenshot.
Seen that?
Proving what they said.
No.
Oh yeah, that's a big time.
Yeah, right? and it's so out of context usually, you know, you don't even know it's. It's so out of place. It's referring a lot of times. I overlook those. I don't even read them. Because I know your intention, even if what they said was awful, but let's say, I'm going to take it to the extreme. It's not like this. But I mean, let's say they were going to murder somebody. Okay, that you screenshotted that and put that on your page, what does that say about you? That's your purpose in life.
Yeah,
to
really.
Try to make them look
the other
bad.
Day someone made a comment. And it was family, and someone made a comment about something that really shocked me they would say that. And I kind of, you know, made a comment and called them out and said, seriously? And I said, holy cow, did I open up a can of worms? Anger and fire and venom. And I thought, whoa, I don't do that very often. But one lady even commented, she said, She said, boy, some people just troll pages looking to jump at the first thing someone says. I'm thinking, well, that's not me. But evidently, man, people can really get upset over this stuff, can't they?
You know, I've learned, and I comment very rarely, and I don't put posts up about anything of substantiation anymore. I never really did. I never saw social media as the place to do that. I saw social media as a place to share thoughts, tell people what you're doing in a good way. Beyond that, I don't want to take pictures of my food. I don't want to take pictures
of...
Yeah, I'm not a food picture. Unless it's somebody who did something nice for me. Now, I'll do that.
I like the one where every time somebody gets a new cut or a sore, they take a picture of
that. Oh, isn't that interesting?
There's a sore on my arm.
Look at
that.
What do you think this is? Yeah. But, you know, that is not social media to me, but that it's become a place to a soapbox is what it's become for what, and that's fine, I guess, if that's what you want to do. But the point of this is I've learned not to do that. I wouldn't do it anyway. But if I see something somebody says and I want to comment on it, I will, but I never read what they respond. Because I said what I said. I know what I said. I don't care what the response is. It's not going to be good, especially if I disagree with it. So I know it's just going to be a bunch of fiddle faddle. So I make the point, and then when it gives me the blah 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 replied to you, I don't look at it.
Good deal.
Yeah,
as most people do not have that discipline, Scott.
I just, what you said, what more can you say? You can just say it again.
You know, I like to put positive things on and things for people to think about and things to think. You know, I want to see us have a better world. That's important to me. I don't know how much time I have left on Earth. You know, I'm getting older. And not that old. You know, I did hear, it made me feel good the other day, that 65 is still the first age of feeling that you're old. According to, is it the CDC? It says old age starts at 65. You're young up until you're 65. Well, I'm not there yet, so I guess I'm still young. But, you know, as we do get older, we realize we don't have a lot of time left, but I do have an extended family around me. And I do want to see, I was looking at my granddaughter the other day, and she's just a little thing, and tiny thing, and I made the comment to a guy yesterday. I said, man, when my older granddaughter, I said, when she was her age, I was 43. Where does this time go to? But I do want to see a better world for them to grow up in, and at least one not any worse. And, you know, those are great concerns that I have. And, but, you know, once again, I think that if all of us could try to stay in a place where we talk about the right things and do the right things and focus on the right things and see what God has in our lives for us and quit worrying about the things that we can't do anything about. Do you know how much time we spend worrying about stuff that we literally can't do a thing about? I can't do anything about the fact that we were talking last week about the popcorn festival and all the people that will come out to it. You know what? I could sit there and talk about that and think about that and think about the ramifications of that, but I can't do a thing about it. I mean, literally.
You know what I think a lot of this is, though, and it never dawned on me till recently, is that we have, as a society, just because we have access to the internet, we have access to a bazillion channels, and a lot of times for free now, people are much more interested in history. History Channel is doing very well now. What are we doing on Google? We're Googling something to get the answer, and a lot of times it's got historic context, and you learn that. And I think what a lot of these things are, it's like getting out before the train. Whatever happens at the popcorn festival is going to happen. But I think we want to be on record as saying, this wasn't a good idea. I don't want anybody 50 years from now to think that I thought this was
and
a good idea.
There's nothing wrong with that, but...
Right.
That's good.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, if you take that home and take it to dinner with you and take it to bed with you, now we're in a bad place.
Well, you can't get stuck in a rut. No. Because, but you know
I never will I say, that goes against what I just said about Bonhoeffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You speak up when something's wrong.
Right, you speak up. But you know, the thing of it, you can't carry it because nothing you can do about it. But I think that going on record is important because how many times in history, I do it all the time, how many times in history do you read something, an atrocity that happened, and you say, could that happen? Where were the people? How could this go on for this long?
So that's why it's important for those that are, what do they use the term, those that are in the know, to open their mouth?
Yeah, because, a lot of times, how many times do we read about the people now, more recent history, when people were writing notes and doing things of that nature, that they did say, this was bad, watch out for this guy, even though it did happen and bad stuff happened, there were people on record who said, this is what's going to happen. And I think that's okay.
Do you remember a guy riding a horse yelling the British were coming?
That's right.
And had he not been yelling the British were coming, there could have been a huge different outcome. And that's the whole point. I think that we do have to sound the alarm sometimes, and we have to do those things. But once again, I'm going to go back to this. Even in sounding the alarm, we can do it with what's true, what's noble, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely. We can sound the alarm and still be that person. I'm saying to stay out of the doldrums, stay out of the negatives, stay out of the, did you see what that disgusting person did the other day? And then going, matter of fact, the Bible is very clear. It tells us not to even talk of such things. We're not to even discuss, when you see, just leave it alone. Leave the muck and mire to the muck and mire. Don't get it on you. Don't wash it. Certainly don't bathe in it. And you're going to take it home with you. And, you can see a skunk hit on the road, but you don't want to get out and sit next to it. You're going to take it home with you for many days. And many times we hear bad stuff and we just soak it up. And before it just oozes out of us. I know a fella that's about 40 now. He's my kid's age. And he's always talking about some issue that's going on in the government or going some conspiracy. And it's like you see him coming and it's just like, oh no. Honestly, I will hear this guy's voice in the background. And when I hear his voice, it just suddenly, I get this feeling in my stomach like, I got to get out of here. And there's those people, but we don't need to be those people. And I think the world's a far better place if we're not, if we think about what's good, what's right. Do you know that if you think that you're a failure, you're going to be a failure? Do you think there's no way out, there's not going to be any way out? If you think that you can't better yourself, you're not going to better yourself. If you think there's no point in getting out of bed in the morning, you're not going to get out of bed in the morning. We have to understand those things. God will take care of us, and he does take good care of us. But we have to be willing to step up and say, okay, what do I need to do today? And be active and be busy. A lady brought me the other day, she brought me a new hiring form from Whirlpool, and a wage increase form that showed what they were paying and what they're now paying, okay? And what's available and what's not. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I know some people that could use this. And I was talking to a young guy a couple weeks ago, just out of high school. He has no plans of going to college or anything. And he was applying for a job at one of these places that start you at minimum wage. And I said, what are you doing? Look at this. You think maybe you might want to try this? And we need to be that voice of helping people to get out of, because I know very well, if this young man started to work at this place where top pay is nothing you could ever live on at this one particular place, he's going to be depressed. He's going to feel like there's no way out. He's going to feel like, why not go somewhere where they say, look, here's where you start and here's where we'll take you. Put your nose to the grindstone and you're going to do something. But I think that many times, I think that sometimes people feel they're better off. They get stuck in a rut. We talked about it a minute ago. They get stuck in a rut. Sometimes it's a generational rut where families have always said, well, this is the way things are. I know an older fella, he's gone now. But he honestly believed this, and he passed it on to his family and his kids, that if you made anything of yourself, anyone that had any money or did anything, cheated and lied to do it. Because he never had anything, and he thought that he did everything that he could and just didn't, and that everyone else must have cheated and lied to get it. Isn't that a horrible place way to think?
Well, I think it's you know, you can't tell anybody your plans. Have you ever noticed that inevitably, and they don't do it on purpose, but it's a negative. You know, I knew somebody one time who
hurts
was
you, doesn't it?
Well, it's strange. It brings you down. And this was a very quick situation, but you know, I had a relative who was going to get a job in a factory because of the wage. The wage sounded much better than the other wages that were on the table. And the person, the family member, went to them and said, "You're not going to like factory work. I don't think this is a good idea." So on and so forth. Well, they went and they did it. And they did it for about a month, 6 weeks, something like that, and they didn't like it. So they went back to that same family member and said, "You know, I think I'm going to put my 2 weeks and go look for something else. It's something better to do with my life that fits me better." And that person, "Well, you can't quit your job." No, they were just told that it made no sense. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do anything right.
A pastor gave me a book one time. And I cannot remember. It was called Giants in the Midst or something like that. And it was basically about, I'd love to find the book again and read it again. It was basically about when you are going somewhere positive, when you're called out in your life to go this direction or that direction. And it talks about all the people that stand in your midst. And it's a lot of times it's family. You know, "You can't do that. You won't like that. Are you really sure you want to do that? There's no money in that. Are you sure this is something that fits your personality? You know, 2 years from now, you're not going to get anywhere." And I think that we have to really look at what we want to do. And we do have to plan and look ahead. Don't jump into anything. But sometimes we have to push those giants out of the way. Run between their legs or do something.
Why doesn't anybody ever offer, even if it's just emotional support? Because the one I hear a lot, "You'll never live on that. You'll never live on that." That's a common family, because they think they're being helpful to that person. You know, "Oh, you've got two kids. You can't live on that." Well, listen, if they're even bringing it up, chances are they're going to do it, or they're pretty close to doing it. So why don't you get on board?
And help them figure out how they can do it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember telling a boss of mine when we were young, when we had I think at the time we had three kids, the fourth on the way, and I told him we spent $35 a week at the grocery. And he said, "There's no way you can do that. You can't live on that." Well, you know what? I was telling the honest truth. We spent $35 a week at the grocery at the time. And yeah, did we have to do some creative dishes and some planning? Of course we did, but we lived on it just fine. I didn't need that negativity for him to basically tell me that, you know, "You're living like a pauper." No, I thought I was being very responsible at the time. But I think we need to be encouraged, everyone. We're about out of time here. And I just want to tell everyone that we are a community Christian fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We'd love to have you visit. We're a very warm, inviting church. You're going to get the truth of the Word of God every week. We believe it cover to cover, and that's what we teach, and that's what we believe. And we're kind of like a big family there. And it doesn't mean we're going to scare you to death and maul you when you come in the door, but it does mean that you're going to be welcomed. And we always look at our church as more of a hospital than we do anything else. It's not a social club. It's where people come to get better. And it's where people, when they are better, they help other people get better. And I just think that's a wonderful place to be. And we're getting ready to start Team Kid in a couple weeks at the church for the young kids. That'll be every other Tuesday, the first and third Tuesday of the month, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And that's from kids preschool all the way through sixth grade. And we're looking forward to that. So anyway, got any final words, Scott?
Well, I just wanted to let people know that this show does replay on Sunday morning at 8:10 a.m. and Wednesday at 3:10 p.m. And the Sunday service is on Sunday morning at 12:15 p.m. And do check out the website, because the archive shows are there under Program Archive. First show under there, The Pastor Spot, dating back to March of 2018. routine, and I also believe the services are on the website.
They are
now,
on the website, too. They follow right below the programming for this show is our Sunday services in their order, too. So, Scott, you have a great weekend. Tim, have a wonderful vacation. It's great having you guys today. God bless you guys. We'll see you.
Happy Labor Day, and stay tuned for more programming here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Back in 10.
Place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. What do you, how do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look